Okay.
So it's 6:45. Hello, everybody. I'm very, very pleased that even at that time of the day, there are so many of you interested in this session. I can promise you there is a very rich, full... Do you hear me? Is it okay? A very full and rich and very wide-ranging session ahead of you. Let me quickly introduce myself. My name is Magdalena Six. I come from Statistics Austria. I do not want to steal too much of your precious time because we are very packed with very many interesting talks. Just a few formal informative things for you. We have 8 talks, so this gives us 4 minutes for every talk. I will raise this beautiful card after 3 minutes, but I guess you have already known this. This is a speed talk, so unfortunately we do not have any time for questions. I also don't read the Twitter, but since we all hopefully are afterwards here, I encourage everybody to approach the speakers with questions, and I'm completely sure everybody is happy to answer questions afterwards. So, very well. I would say we completely start right now, and the first speaker of today is Christina Neves from Statistics Portugal, and she will present mobility survey and metropolitan areas, innovation and methods and procedures. The floor is yours.
Show is not working. I need your help because the slideshow is not working. Even with F5, or it doesn't work. You see?
No.
Try now.
Okay. No? This guy will help us.
The slideshow blocked. It's working there, but not. It's different. We saw different things here.
Yeah. So okay, so this is this presentation.
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. No, okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Good afternoon, everybody. My presentation will be about innovation and about how can we develop innovative statistics with innovative methods using the scarce resources that we have, just by combining different skills and different levels of knowledge in order to have an innovative approach to a specific questionnaire. The example I bring to you is the mobility survey that we conduct at Statistics Portugal into specific metropolitan areas in Portugal, and we decided that we need to have good results and be more accurate, so we decided to implement some innovative methods in order to reduce our sample, but increasing the quality of data. So we ask our colleagues from the geographical statistics to work with us and to study for a territorial division in order to have buffers of influence concerning the modes of transport and to define homogeneous accessibility areas in order to have a specific sample that could be more reliable and that could conduct better results with decreasing the number of households in the survey. That's how the buffers were constructed, and with this approach we can also define a new sample method using a stratified two-stage sample, a first stage for Kawi sample using the internet, and the second one with a subsample of the first one to do it by the KPUA, by personal interviewing the people that live in the households. So So both in the both levels at the sample size and at the way that we decided to orient our geographical approach, we can introduce an innovative approach and an innovative survey that conducted to very good results, because the response rates in the internet was very high and the results were very interesting, and we could have results at a geographical level lower than the usual municipality or parishes by using these innovative approaches. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina, for this very quick and interesting talk. Good for the next one. I think you have 5 minutes. The next presenter is Thomas Riedel from the Federal Statistics Office, DStatis, and he will talk about the digital agenda of DStatis. So the floor is yours, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Magdalena. This talk is about on the question how digital transformation could help the German football team to become relevant again after they lost this afternoon. No, forget about this, dear colleagues. I'm talking about the question whether we could become more relevant as official statistics by using the opportunities of digital transformation. Konrad Pesendorfer, in his keynote speech this morning, mentioned digitization, and he stressed three points: the loss of information monopoly as for us as official statistics, the new data sources beside official statistics, and the question whether we as official statistics actually are measuring the right phenomenons in the right way. So the question is really how digital transformation is an opportunity for us to keep relevant. I want to start with two non-statements. The first is digitization is not an end in itself. And the second is digitization does not just mean IT development. And I hope after the next 2 minutes, you will know the answers to the three dots after the buts. The digital agenda of our house was published in February, and we follow some core principles with the agenda. I want to mention two. The first is the starting point for our digital agenda is the strategy of our house, and in the core of the strategy of our house is the focus on the needs of the users and the employees. And the next very important point is that digitization affects everyone in our house. So we try to have a comprehensive plan on the question of digitization, and the agenda gives us a strategic umbrella for our measures. The definition of digitization, we see it as a consistent realization of seamless electronic and largely automated processes, but that is not all. I think digitization means more. We have to develop new skills for digitization, new skills for working together, and so digitization means a cultural change of our house, in our house, and that is a very important point for us. The targets we are following improve the quality of our products and develop new skills and partnerships and faster delivery of complex new information. These are the two main points. And we had some workshops about that, and we followed the statistical business process model, and we defined some fields of action, and we tried to find some measures within these fields of action. We had some way of prioritization these measures, and what comes out was four lighthouse projects we are following now. And the answer is digitization is not an end in itself, but it serves the strategy of the house. And the second point is it's not only just IT development, but it's also a fundamental change of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you also for this very interesting paper. I can really find the Lighthouse projects very, very interesting. Can recommend it to everybody. So the next speaker is Marcos Rodriguez Pinto from the Brazilian Institute of Geography and Statistics, He will talk about data collection quality control using Paradata and geolocation. So Marcos, the floor is yours.
Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for your presence here. I'm going to talk about data collection quality control using Paradata and geolocation. Well, the motivation of this work is based on the fact that quality control in census data collection phase is vital to produce quality statistics. Everybody knows that. And inaccurate or fraudulent capture data may lead to undesired distortions. And the most common way to do this quality control to execute this process is by checking the questionnaire data that is being transmitted from the field to the central servers, and that means investigating the microdata. And we also know that on personal interview modes, the CAPI, data collection process generates a lot of side data that may be used for quality purposes, for many purposes. Paradata is a term that's very used nowadays, it's in many studies. And also the use of GPS, the geo-coordinates can get this information and it be used for quality purposes also. And there's no extra work demanded to collect this data. This is an automated process that's being captured by the handheld devices. And the purpose of this work is to validate the use of this Paradata as a secondary data source for quality control. We have just ended our Brazilian census of agriculture in Brazil, and we have collected a lot of questionnaires covering a very huge area that Brazil's keep. A lot of enumeration areas and field staff, huge field staff. And our data collection process is very simple, and we have collected the Paradata on the stages of the work of the enumerator on the fields. And by using the tracking, the confirmation of the address and the interview, we are collecting silently some data inside the handheld devices. And we have two groups of Paradata that were collected. One is the tracking of the numerator. If each 16 meters of displacement, we capture this geolocation. During the questionnaire, each 2 minutes we capture, without the numerator knowing he's being investigated, and a lot of other data that we collect during the interview, the log of the use of the handheld device. And we have ended with billions of data that are stored on our Paradata database. And what we used with this, we have shown a lot of reports, charts, and geolocation information to show to the supervisors on the fields which distortions could happen. Interviews with short length and many others. And here are some samples, the tracking of the numerator in the fields and geolocation, tracking even in rivers, that's interesting. And interviews in motion, that's very suspicious case too. Interviews made in the same place, another suspicious case. And we have concluded by logging the use of these reports that there was very relevant the use of this Paradata monitoring the field work. And it was also possible to identify suspicious or fraudulent work. But we have not explored fully the potential of the log of the questionnaire, the sequence of the use of the handheld device. And our future research, what we are actually doing, is using a machine learning model to identify patterns inside these questionnaire fillings made by the numerator and build a model to predict future cases. Thank you.
So thank you, Marcos, for this very impressive illustration how Paradata can help to raise the quality. Maybe we can have a chat afterwards how the situation is about the legal issue of tracking the I would like to have that, but for the moment, thank you very much. So the next presenter is Christina Rivera-Trepat from IDESCAT. it's the Institute de Statistica de Catalunya, and she will talk about building the territorial statistical register, quality control on geocoded administrative data. So the floor is yours, Christina.
Thank you. The Statistical Institute of Catalonia is developing a statistical information system based on administrative data. One of the subsystems is the Statistical Territory Register, which uses information from real estate and other sources. The objective of the subsystem is geocoding macro data and to validate postal addresses. The goal of the work we are presenting here is to analyze the statistical quality of the Statistical Territory Register, specifically the quality of the positions related to the road code. As a first step, a set of polygons was created associated with the concave hull from the centroids of these states under the same road code. You can see an example of two polygons obtained by two different sources. In this map, we can see an example of two polygons that contains anomalous points. So, one of the tasks carried out is the detection of these outliers. To do so, we focus on analyzing the distribution of the distances between the points of each polygon. The different steps followed in our work are shown in this slide. We began with a selection of a labeled sample to learn and test our methods. Then we performed a univariate study of more than 20 variables of our database through comparisons of areas under the rock curve. After that, we compared the results with some standard multivariate models, but they were not the ones we expected. So, to improve the results, we created some indicator based on the nonlinear combination of the variables. We chose the best out of them, maximizing the sensitivity and the specificity. As a result, we propose an indicator of the quality of the polygons, PQI, which has the formulation shown in the slide, combining maximum difference and the variation coefficient of the length of polygon sites. Both variables used in this indicator refer to the polygon without taking into account the longer site. You can see an example of this indicator applied to the polygons of a Catalan municipality. Depending on the value of the indicator, the polygons of this cartogram are represented by different tones. White means that are labeled as correct, and red means a greater probability of containing an anomalous point. After this analysis, we found that 3% of the polygons of the database belong to the group of polygons which need priority revisions. Errors mainly caused by bad assignation of the road code due to different reasons. For example, a road with the same name but a different type. To conclude, this indicator enables us to calculate the percentage of polygons liable to be erroneous and the percentage of these polygons that require priority revision. This indicator is a useful tool to classify and identify the polygons in accordance to their estimated quality. That's all. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Christina, also for this methodologically very, very interesting paper. Thank you very much. So the next person, the next speaker is Pedro Cunha from Statistics Portugal. And he asked a very provocative question. He asked, does big data mean big problems or bigger opportunities? We are all very interested to get to know.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I will try to quickly, as I can, tell the story about our project. So the National Dwelling Register was built with the census, microdata, and the main administrative source that we are using for updating the register is the system indicator of urban operations. Now that we have solved the problem of having new data and updating it with administrative source, we have to move further and try to determine the dwelling status in terms of occupation, if it's a primary dwelling, a secondary, or if it's vacant. And the main source that we are studying is the electricity consumption. So why not big data, namely smart meters that are electronic devices that records electricity in energy in intervals of 1 hour or less, and send that information back to the system for monitoring and billing. The aim of these meters is to provide utility companies with real-time data about power consumption and allow consumers to have informed choice about energy usage related with prices. So we come to the idea of combining these two systems and try to find the threshold from which we can determine a dwelling occupation. However, there was a problem because the sample file sent by the electricity company didn't have any address and it was completely anonymized. So we don't have a key to link the two systems. But they did send us information about postal codes, which in Portugal can be of 4 digits, we are more aggregated, or 7 digits, which in some cases can be a street or part of a street. So we can use this information, and why not use this for measuring quality or validation? Well, but not everything is a rainbow, because some obstacles must be overcome, or at least be aware that the problems could arise. One of the problems is access to data. Will we have access to data when it's needed, at what periodicity, and how? Will we have the technology necessary, and will we have the people and methods to deal with this kind of data? Just for knowing, we just received 5,000 meters, which is nothing, with readings from 1 year of 15 minutes, and it's 170 million records. So when it's all the country, it will be a huge amount of data. What about if the technology or format changes? I don't think it's the case of smart meters because it's just starting. Are any legal problems or ethical ones? Maybe here we have some ethical ones because with this kind of information, we have access to sensible data, like if the people is at home or not, for example. So, taking these problems in consideration, I will describe briefly the process of we developed. So, first we have to study the behavior of each unit and map as primary, like this on blue, secondary, like this one on red, or vacant, like this one here, which has lower energy consumption. And then aggregate it by postal code, because it's the only thing we have, and compare it with the existing in our dwelling register. And consider these in green that are good quality and validated, and focus on the one that have over coverage or under coverage. And in some cases, we can see the absolute numbers, compare the values, and try to infer information. So in conclusion, we can say that big data in official statistics with existing methodologies has three main purposes: measuring quality, validation, and discover intervention areas. Thank you.
So thank you, Pedro. Thank you also very much for this very, very illustrative talk. And we all know that we try to get our hands on smart metering data. So thanks for leading the way here. For all colleagues now who have come for the talk for local decisions and new guidelines of the official statistics from the colleague from Italian National Institute, I have bad news. This talk is not happening at the moment. So we're only having 7 presentations right now. Which brings us to the next presentation. The next presentation is from the Basque Statistics Institute. It's Enrique Moran Alés, and he will talk about eBalua, building a new application to assist quality assessment of statistics in Eurostat.
Thank you. No, this is the previous one. Kay. I don't know what is that. Okay, my name is Moran Alés. The previous, this one. Okay. Okay, good evening. As we are running out of time and it is very late, my intention is just to highlight some of the points, of the main points we have written on our paper. In 2012, the Basque Statistics Institute began the assessment of quality in statistics in a systematic way. In a previous external assessment of our institute, it has been discovered or revealed a new phase at the end of the statistical process, the assessment stage. This phase is important and necessary to improve the quality of statistics. We define the assessment as a deep reflection of the statistics team. We chose the sub-questionnaire developed by the Lithuanian Statistical Institute and made some minor adaptations to better meet our situation. We approved a protocol to guide the whole process and design the standard report to store and save the measures and the ideas to improve the quality of the statistics and the planning to introduce them. And we started. After several years of spreading the assessment to all our statistical production, we decided to build a new application to put together all the elements and tasks of the assessment procedure. This application called Evalua has been developed on the internet so that the other member of the statistical the Basque statistical organization, that is the statistical units of the Basque government departments, can take part in the assessment of the shared statistics. The main features of this application are the following. First, it provides the entire set of the tools needed for the assessment, such as the questionnaires, the assessment reports, and the results of previous assessment of the survey. Second, it is integrated in the information system, in our information system, so it can take data from the whole system, such as the names of the statistic, the names of the team members, the mail addresses, and several dates of the assessment. This application also communicates the beginning and the end of the process by sending messages and sending the assessment reports. And above all, it stores all the information in an Oracle database so we can produce statistical reports of the process, such as the number of assessment by several characteristics of the surveys, the duration of the process, and so on. We are also thinking about new measures to improve the assessment procedure itself, such as to compare the assessment made by several teams of similar surveys to compare the duration of the process, to check for the maximum scores given to the main items of the questionnaire, to share experiences between teams, and to think about the members of the assessment team. Till the moment, only the statistics team are involved, but we are thinking of introducing some other people, maybe some people especially prepared for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Enrique, for a very informative talk. So the last speaker of today is Maria Rosalia Vicente from the University of Oviedo. She said me in the beginning, okay, while they have some technical issues, I can tell you that she said just before that she's very pleased that she's the last speaker of a very intensive speed talk of a very intensive day. But so she will talk about improving official statistics with credit card and debit card data. Some insights on section bias. So Maria, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much for being here. If you are expecting me to talk about something fancy about big data, fancy technique, results, models, I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you because I'm going to talk about something that is really ugly, that people who work on big data don't like it, don't say anything about it, and it's selection bias. And that is the thing we tried to analyze. As you all know, there are hundreds of papers being published with Twitter, Facebook, but if you read carefully and look for something about selection and coverage problems, maybe you can find two lines, three lines. They say there might be, but nothing else. So we try to address, or not address this problem, to analyze the problem. So the particular case of analysis we had is credit and debit card data. And the interesting thing, well, you have there like the details of the database. The interesting thing is that there are some guys from MIT that has just published a paper in Nature 2018, and they have a similar database like this one. They have it for Mexico City. This is for another South American capital city. The rate of use of credit card and debit card in this in Mexico and in our city is 30% of people using them. And I encourage you to look for the article if you are interested in this and see how much they say about selection bias. So I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to talk about my paper. So just one, what happens with selection bias and problem of coverage? So we have information about if you are using a credit card, you know, demographic characteristics, and I wrote self-reported income. It's not really self-reported. In some cases, it's registered income, because if you get a salary, someone is paying you, a third person, you know, the money goes through a bank account, so it's registered. In other cases, is well, you get the money, you put it there. And this is the details of our distribution of credit card data. You can see it. If you compare that with the official figures from a statistical office, can you guess our first decile to which decile corresponds? The fifth one. So we are missing the half of our population, the top bottom. So there's some sample selection, there's problem of coverage, but people don't like it and don't say it. And that's all. I'm finished, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. Thank you for looking into this very, very interesting topic, because we all have heard the coverage issues, we all hear about the quality measures, but it's one of the first times that I hear somebody talking really quantifying the topic. And yes, thank you very much for this. So something has happened that I would not have expected at all. We are early in time, so I would suggest the following. We have 5 or even 8 more minutes. I would not like to open the floor for questions in the overall audience, because you don't see the speakers at the moment, but I would suggest that we, whoever has questions, I delegate them now in this room to speakers here. They are all gathered here, so take the chances. I would like to thank everybody for the very interesting talks, for the discipline, for keeping the time so accurately. I think they have all earned a very big applause. And for me, I only can wish you a very nice evening. I hope to see you all downstairs over a drink, and wish you a good evening. Thank you.